You know, from October 7th, everybody's asking the same question. How is it the Israeli intelligence community did not know that's coming up, a war is coming up from Gaza, that Hamas is doing it? As time passes by, there's coming more and more evidence that enough people knew that's going to be a war, that something is coming up. This week, the Wall Street Journal published a video. They collected pieces from the social media that Hamas put up on the social media in the last 2 years of training that they do how to attack kibbutzim. And they compared it with the videos that from whatever took place on October 7th. And they show you piece next to piece. It's unbelievable how exactly it is. It's like mind-boggling to see how they did exactly what they trained for. The colors this at the same white trucks, at the same gates from the kibbutzim, they made the same color of gates. Everything is the same. How they kidnap people, they were training how to kidnap people. And that's exactly what you see in the videos of the actual kidnapping. Everything is the same. That's one thing that came out this week. Then I read another thing. And one of the leaders of the Hamas had an interview in an Arab newspaper a week in August. And he said, it's going to be a big war that will surprise Israel. This is in addition to all the information that came out in the last 2 months. There were thousands of war of signs. That's going to be a war. Thousands. And nobody saw it. Everybody was blind. What's going on? The same question we have about the story of Joseph. You know, we're reading in the parsha of this week about the story of Joseph. It goes on in the last few parshas. Joseph became the ruler of Egypt. And then he had the 7 good years, and then the beginning of the 7 bad years. And 2 years into the bad years, you know, shows up. Jacob's family, his brothers came. They need food too. Nobody, Joseph knew that they'll come. It's a matter of time. They're going to come. Earlier or later, they're going to show up. They came, and Joseph right away summoned them to his palace, and he accused them of being spies. Right? You came to spy the land. And right there, the Torah says, Joseph recognized his brothers. But his brothers didn't recognize him. The question is, what do you mean they didn't recognize him? It's a brother. What do you mean? And then the Rashi gives an explanation. You know, when he left, he didn't have a beard. He was 17 years old. Now he's 30 years old. More, he's 39 years old. 39 years old. 22 years passed. You know, he looks like a different person. They didn't recognize him. He left them and they were adults already. Then they wore the same faces. You know, if you say the meeting is 5 minutes, maybe we can accept it. They were had their own conversation with them. He told them, they told them, no, we are not spies. And they offered information they didn't have to offer. They said, you know, we are a family of 12. We have only 10 years. Said, what happened? Says, one is gone. And the other one, the youngest, is back in, his father didn't let him leave. Joseph waited for the opportunity. He says, if you bring your youngest brother, it will be a proof that you're not spies. And meanwhile, I will take one of your brothers as a collateral and keep it by me that I'll make sure you bring in your brother. When your brother comes, I release him back to you. No problem. And who he takes? Who he kept for collateral? Shimon, Simon. Reuven was the oldest, right? Why they had to ask himself, why is he taking Shimon? Why Simon? How he knows that Shimon is the most dominant one? Is the most dangerous one, if you want. Yes, it looked like he has some more information. Should be like a red light come up in their mind, says, he wants our youngest brother back to bring him here. He's taking sin, Shimon. Why Shimon? Why not Reuven? Why not anybody else? Why not Judah, who is the strongest? He knew that Shimon, Joseph knew that Shimon and Levi sold them, actually. Shimon wanted to kill him. That was the one who wanted to kill him. Okay, you can say, okay, it's not just such a big hint. Then they go to back to Israel. They came back home, they opened the bags, the food is there, and the money that they paid for the food is there too. He gave them back the money. And
Yep.
again, why is he giving them back the money? They're to see that something is wrong here, something is not normal. Finally, they convinced the father to let Benjamin go. They come with Benjamin. The moment Joseph heard that Benjamin is here, you know, he invited them for a Shabbat dinner. He invited the whole. Couldn't he ask themselves? The guy said, the last trip he said is we are the spies. Now suddenly he wants us for dinner. What is this? What's going on here? Why need us for dinner? What, we are a family members? We became family with them. What? Then they come to the dinner. There is two tables. One table for the Egyptian and one table for the Hebrews. Why table for the Hebrews? Because the Hebrews used to eat meat. And by the Egyptian, this meat was the god that they didn't work together.
That's right.
And Joseph is sitting with Hebrews. Wouldn't it be strange, this business? Why is he sitting with Hebrews? What, he's not an Egyptian? What's going on here? That's another red flag. And then the ultimate. You know, when you people come, you're the host, you're sitting people around the table, you tell them where to sit. People want to know where to sit, where should I sit? And you organize it, you sit here, and next time I'll sit here, right? Then they come, he has, Joseph had a goblet, like a cup, like a Kiddush cup type of thing. And he looks in his goblet and he says, like he's a fortune teller. He says, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Judah, and Issachar and Zvulun from the same mother, sit together. Whoa. Then he looks, Dan and Naphtali from the same mother, you look next. Dan, God and Asher from another mother. Then he turns to Benjamin. He says, you know, you don't have a mother. You told me I do not have a mother. Sit next to me. And the Torah says, they looked on each other. The brothers looked on each other. They said, this is something strange. How he knows mother? We never told him this information. They didn't believe in his goblet, you know, in his garbage. They looked
Right.
on each other. Said, something is wrong here, son. Then for heaven's sake. And then you know what happened at the party? They were drinking with them wine and they got drunk. That's what they got drunk. They got chicken. He's spending so many hours with your brother and he's giving so many signs and so many hints that it's him, that you, it's me.
Yep.
And nothing, blind. What is happening? You know, there is sometimes you're looking for something. You lost something, like your film or something. You lose something, and you're looking, running around all over the house to look for it. And not in the case of your film, I don't know where you found it, but sometimes the thing that you lose, it's right, then you find it right on your desk in front of you, the most obvious place you didn't look. For some reason, you're going around all over the house, blaming your wife, blaming the whole world, getting upset, cursing God, and then it's right in front of your eyes. You were blind. You had a blind spot. And there is a special zgula. Zgula means way prayer. If you lose something, there is a prayer to say in Judaism, and then you're going to find it, to make it easier for you to find what you lost. What is the zgula? The zgula is, says Rabbi Binyamin, we are all considered blind until God opens our eyes. Yeah.
Yep.
What's the proof? The proof is from a story of Agar. You know, Agar was sent away with your son Ishmael, right? From Abraham's house to the desert. In the desert, they run out of water, right? Ishmael got sick. He was dying. She dropped him in one place. She went to another side of the another place. She sat down the mother Agar and cried to God, right? Then an angel of God came and told her, why, Agar, why are you crying? Told them, don't worry, your son will save your, my God will save your son. And it's written, and God opened her eyes and she saw water. It's not written that God created water. God opened her eyes and she saw water. It means that the water was there somehow, but she never saw it. Just like we are looking for something that we lost, and we don't know it's right in front of your fine. Sometimes you have your glasses over your head and on your nose, and you're looking for your glasses. You know, it's like some, or you know, sometimes people, and when they bend down to look under the bed with the glasses fall on your nose, and they discover that the glasses are just all the time on the head. And then the question is, what was the blind spot? What is the message? What is blind? What is the cover up that we have that you don't see? You know, in Hasidus, the word in Hebrew, I say world in Hebrew. Olam. Very good, Olam. Olam has more than one meaning in Hebrew. It has meaning Elem. Elem means a cover up. The world is a cover up of God. What does this mean? God helps us to make a living, to be successful. But it's very quick to convince yourself that I know best. I did it. My accomplishment. I went to college. I'm smart. I graduated. I went to the Ivy League colleges. I made it. Therefore, I got a good job. Therefore, I did this. What God? Thank God. We forget very quick that I was born with a certain talent. That's why I'm doing it so well. I have a good head. Therefore, I'm a very talented boy, and therefore I can make it in college. I forgot that I was born to parents who are very can afford college. Not every parent can afford college. I was born to a family, to a neighborhood of people who encourage studies. Many places they don't value college. They don't value college education.
Mm-hmm.
There is so many things that I didn't do. You know, people are respected and make millions for being beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
They did anything to be beautiful. You're born beautiful.
Right.
Still, still people give themselves credit. Then the world is very quick, is a cover up of God. It looks like I did. I met this guy and I told him A, and he sold me the building, and I went B, and I went to the bank and I got this. I'm such a big chochem. The next day, why I'm not such a big chochem? My way, things are not going so well. Where is my chochem? Where is my wisdom disappeared? Then life is very, you know, the book of Genesis teaches us this concept. You know, in the book of Exodus, it's all about miracles. It's a miracle that everything is a miracle. The splitting of the sea, the 10 plagues, the manna. The book of Genesis almost does not have miracles. It's all seeing the end of God. Joseph saying to the butler, how are you? Why are you in a bad mood? Led that he should become the leader of Egypt, right? And because he was the leader of Egypt, he saved his brothers from starvation. The whole book of Genesis is to show the end of God, how it's hidden inside the movie of life. But if you put on the right lenses, you will see that God is running all your life. You see the miracles, how things happen for a purpose and one thing leads to another. Then the question is, how you get rid of this blind spot? And it comes to the story of Joseph or stories that we have today. Maybe by the story of Joseph, when you hate your brother so much and you're busy hating your brother, you don't see anything else. You cannot even dream that this, the ruler of Egypt, is your brother. You cannot afford to think of such a thought, because if you have such a thought, you'll go crazy. Oy vey, that's the guy we wanted to kill him, he's the ruler of Egypt. Now we are in big trouble. The same thing happened in Israel. They were so busy fighting each other. Nobody had time to think about the Hamas. Who cares? Oh, the signs of Hamas. We now have to get them out of it. And everybody was so worked up and so meshuggah, they didn't see each other. Then basically, brother fights between brothers, hate between brothers, that's what blinds us from seeing each other. When we become a little nicer, we start to care for other people. Just like Joseph turned to the butler, how are you? Why are you in a bad mood? And we look at another Jew. We look him in the eyes. When you look somebody in the eyes, you see his soul. And then all the barriers you see, he's also a human being. He also has feelings. He also has way of thinking. He's also a man to be respected. He might disagree with you, so be it. Then all the barriers fell, and we'll be able to start to see each other. And we'll see each other, we'll be able to care for each other.